Heavenly Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to guide me in everything I say tonight, Lord. I pray that you give me the words to speak, give me utterance to speak tonight, Lord. Guide me by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lead us into all truth, Lord God. We want to know you, Lord. So reveal yourself to us by your Spirit, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 7. And the scene occurs between the sixth and seventh seals. And this is where the 144,000 of Israel are sealed. And beginning in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 7. Then I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds, so they did not blow on the earth or the sea, or even on any tree. And I saw another angel coming up from the east, carrying the seal of the living God. And he shouted to those four angels who had been given power to harm land and sea. Wait, do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the foreheads of his servants. And I heard how many were marked with the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel. From Judah, 12,000. From Reuben, 12,000. From Gad, 12,000. From Asher, 12,000. From Naphtali, 12,000. From Manasseh, 12,000. From Simeon, 12,000. From Levi, 12,000. From Issachar, 12,000. From Zebulun, 12,000. From Joseph, 12,000. And from Benjamin, 12,000. Now, who are these 144,000? This is a question. Because this group possibly represents the Jewish remnant, the witnesses that are on the earth during the Great Tribulation. And it can't be the church, because the church is composed of all races, peoples, and tongues. So this is very specific. These are the 12 out of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so these names really apply to the 12 tribes of Israel. And although they're dispersed at this present time, we can see how God is bringing everybody back to the land from around the globe. And God is well able to do it. And whatever God says he's going to do, he's going to do. And there's no devil in hell that can stop him from doing it. And so it's clear that the 12,000 from each tribe are sealed to show God's ownership and protection over them. And today, you and I in Christ are also sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen. You know, we're going to have a final redemption. That's going to be the redemption of our bodies. We're going to receive a glorified body. Amen. And so God's at work in all these things that we see happening around us. He's getting his people, his church, his bride ready. Amen. For what is yet to come. Hallelujah. He's going to have a bride that is holy, that is purified. Amen. And so we see in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, here is a great multitude from every nation and that is standing before the throne. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the 24 elders asked me, "Who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from?" In verse 14, "And I said to him, 'Sir, you are the one who knows.' And then he said to me, 'These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter.'" Now, remember again that God instructed Moses to, you know, to build the tabernacle in the wilderness specifically. You know, he gave him specific instructions as to how to build it, because the earthly tabernacle was to be a pattern or type of what? The heavenly tabernacle. Amen. The very throne of God. And so In verse 16, it says, they will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. Boy, we can appreciate that after the last couple of days. And for the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I love that. Hallelujah. So let's look at verse 9. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language. How many know that God loves all people? He's not willing that anyone should perish. Standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches. After this, speaking of after the 144,000 are sealed, okay, then he sees this scene of all these people of nations and kindred and tribes and tongues, you know. And they were clothed in white robes and they held palm branches in their hands. Now, remember, God's message is always to the Jew first. Amen. When Jesus came, he first came unto his own. Amen. And to the Jews first, and then to the Greeks or to the Gentiles, non-Jewish. So it was first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Now we see that in Romans 1, verse 16, where Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Now the white robes tell us that these are overcomers. Why? Because they're clothed with the righteousness of God. Amen. The white linen represents righteousness, and God is our righteousness. Amen. And the waving of the palms, this was a way that they would signify victory. Amen. They had overcome the world. They had overcome the flesh and the devil. Hallelujah. These were overcomers that were clothed in white and they waved palm branches as a sign of their victory. Hallelujah. Revelation 7, verse 10. And they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. Hallelujah. And the multitude recognized the source of their salvation and their victory. And as a result, they cannot be silent. When you have been touched by the Lord, amen, when you have been changed by the Lord, when God shows up, amen, you can't help but say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. He's a life-giving spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's liberty in praise. There's liberty in worship. Amen. You get excited. Amen. Because God is pure excitement. He's life. Amen. So how many just love to be excited about Jesus? Amen. How many believe the church should be excited about Jesus? Amen. And so the angels also join in this celebration in verse 11. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. Hallelujah. And they sang, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength or might belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. What do we see here? We see a sevenfold praise. Amen. Sevenfold, which is the number of perfection, right? The number of God. Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might. And they sang what? Forever and ever. Hallelujah. Heaven is full of praise. Hallelujah. And you know, if you want heaven in your heart, you've got to be full of praise too. In verse 13, then one of the 24 elders asked me, who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from? And he said, sir, you are the one who knows. Then he said to me, these are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. You know, God gives us an opportunity, an opportune time, doesn't he? He gives us a space to repent. And he's not willing that anyone should perish right now. The call is going out for people to turn to Jesus. Amen. While they have opportunity, while the door is still open, while God's grace is still being extended, God is calling people to repentance, to turn back to the Lord and call upon the only one who can save us. And he wants to save us, amen, from the wrath of God. Amen. God doesn't want people to suffer his wrath. He wants people to repent so that they can receive his mercy, because God is just and he's a just judge. God must judge sin. And therefore, if a person refuses the mercy of God, the pardon of God, then they will be accountable for their own sin. They will not receive the mercy and the forgiveness, the cancellation of that debt that can come only from God. Amen. Therefore, it's not like God wants to judge people, but because of his character and because he is holy, because he is just, then he must judge as a righteous judge sin. That's why Jesus came and died, amen, in our place. Hallelujah. So he made everything available to us that pertains to life and godliness. We can be free from that penalty, amen. We can receive that forgiveness, hallelujah, that cancellation of debt, and we can be made right with the Lord only through the blood of Jesus Christ. But if a person refuses the love of God, they're refusing the only mercy that is available to them to be saved. And you know, it's going to be sad in that day, because there are some who refuse to believe, or those who believe that somehow within themselves they are righteous enough for God. And that is a lie of the enemy. Amen. Because the Bible is very clear, and there are none good. Amen. We're not good. We weren't born good. We were born corrupt. We need to be forgiven. We need to be born again. We need to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's the work that God does, a work of grace that God does. Amen. And it's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should what? Should boast. Yeah. So it seems in verse 33, where it talks about in the world you'll have tribulation. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, Jesus said. But in the world, you will have tribulation. But then he goes on to say what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. So I remind myself of this often when I look around at the craziness of this world, the insanity that's going on around us. I just know that it's not going to be forever. The Lord's going to come. He's going to establish his reign, and he's going to put down all rule and authority. He shall reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee is going to bow to him. Amen. Every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ. We just decide to do that now. That's a good advice, right? Let's bow now and confess him as Lord. Hallelujah. And we do so because we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Hallelujah. And there is salvation and none other. But this is it seems that this passage was intended to bring comfort to the early church, you know, and the first century Christians, as well as those who are in this final crisis. And I don't know where we're exactly at on the calendar, but we can see the signs of the times. We can see how things are heating up, how things are happening so quickly and so repetitively and in such volume that the news can't even keep up with it all. I mean, they're still mopping up over here what happened last week, and that's old news now because there's so much new stuff that's happening. And God is just simply saying, listen, I'm getting ready, amen, to come for my bride. Get ready. Get ready. Jesus told us to be watchful. The early church was watchful. Why? Because they believed that Jesus could come at any time. But the vast group of overcomers, these are the ones that have come from every nation and tribe and people and language. But it says that they're going to be these people, this particular people group will be temple servants who wait on the Lord day and night. I don't know about you, but it's a joy to serve the Lord. This is not going to be like maid service or anything. It's going to be, can you imagine just in glory in the heaven and being around the throne, you know, day and night? Hallelujah. Can't get any better than that. Verse 15, Revelation chapter 7, that is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in this temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. And here's the good news. Amen. Verse 16, they will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. Wow. There's not going to be. This is not going to go on forever. Amen. Now, there will be no more tribulation in that day for these faithful believers. Their days of suffering, their heartache, their abuse will be finished. The Lord's going to reward those who have suffered for his name's sake. Those who have endured, those who have remained faithful to him through it all, the Lord will reward someday. Amen. those who have suffered will have a better resurrection. But God grants us the grace necessary for us to endure anything that we face in this life. We're never alone. He told us, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the comfort to you, the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. He's going to help you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to convict you. He's going to give you wisdom, amen, when you need it. He's going to reveal to you everything and remind you of everything I've taught, and He'll also show you things to come. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, amen, that He's with us. Hallelujah, we have a Comforter. Amen. Now, their suffering is going to finish. Why? Verse 17, for the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's the lover of our souls. He's going to lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Hallelujah. You know, guys, sometimes you wonder, well, why so long and why so much suffering and all these things? And, you know, this is my own personal thoughts about this, but I believe that God has a certain number that are going to be with Him for eternity. Okay? And each generation has a remnant that are going to be gleaned, that are going to be gleaned from that generation. And so there's a certain number. Amen. And it's when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, I believe, when the non-Jewish people, amen, have come to Christ, and that number, we don't know that number, only the Lord knows. But He's going to turn to His ancient people, amen, and the veil will be removed. They will recognize Jesus as Messiah. But right now, God is extending the opportunity to all, whosoever will, to the Lord may come right now. And so I believe that God is gleaning a people, amen, throughout the generations that are going to be His own for eternity. Hallelujah. He's going to share His kingdom with us, amen, with those who belong to Him. And Jesus again said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad about that? You and I don't deserve Him, do we? We don't deserve it, but God loved us and wanted us to be with Him. And He was willing to go all the way to the cross to make that possible for us. Hallelujah. The penalty, amen, has been paid. Hallelujah. The penalty in full has been paid on our behalf. Hallelujah. Now, what is the key that we need? What is the main thing that we need to glean from this study? You know, from Revelation in general. It's all about God's plan, amen, unfolding. But to what? To have a people who have been readied, made ready, amen, who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, amen, so that we will be qualified to be in His presence. You and I, in our own goodness, will never be good enough. Our righteousness is, as the prophet said, what, filthy rags? Yeah. So, but we need His righteousness in order to be righteous enough. And so God gives righteousness as a gift to mankind. Hallelujah. By faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know, the flesh hates that because the flesh has to earn. And the flesh has to receive something through entitlement or by way of performance. And so sometimes people have a hard time accepting the grace of God as simply the grace of God that saves. Instead, it's got to be all about what we do to save ourselves. And yet Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. But you do have to give up your life in order to find it, to gain it. Amen. You have to give your life to Him. Trust Him with your life. Amen. And He'll give you His eternal abundant life. Overflowing superior quality and quantity of life, right? So we need to do this one thing. We need to stay alert and we need to commit ourselves to the work of the Lord. Those two things, guys, I can't stress this enough. Every one of us has a mission and we are to commit ourselves to that mission. It's not necessarily as a missionary to Africa or a pastor in the pulpit, but each one of us has a mission, amen. And I believe our primary mission, amen, is to one another within the body of Christ, to minister to one another, amen, to build up the body, amen. Whatever that is, you need to explore the heart of God, amen, and discover who you are in Him and who He is in you and what God has called you to do. And I find that if I draw near to God, His desires become my desires. And then I automatically know what the Lord wants me to do. Amen. And I will want to do His will. When I'm close to Jesus, amen, He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So, stay awake spiritually, watch and pray, right? And commit yourself to the work of the Lord, to the mission of God. Remember back to Noah and his family, they were about the Father's business, amen, preparing the ark to the saving of their family, amen. So, you think about it, the people that were saved were the ones that were involved in the building up, amen, of the ark, which represents the body of Christ, I believe, the work of God in the earth. Hallelujah. And you know, the ones that, again, that are really looking for Jesus are the ones who have divorced themselves from this sin-sick world system, amen, and have committed themselves over to Jesus, amen. And they're living for the Lord, amen, because they have not made this world their eternal home. And they're just not trying to make this into their heaven, amen. They understand that this is a temporary thing, and God does bless us with nice things to enjoy. He's not a killjoy, amen. God is a joy giver, hallelujah, amen. But He doesn't want us to become idolatrous either and turn this world into our heaven and forget Him, amen. But those who are prepared and looking for the coming of the Lord are the ones who are about the Father's business. Those who are serving the Lord are looking for the day when the Lord comes. And they'll have confidence in that day. Now, here's what I want to finish with. The fact that we do not know the appointed time should keep us on the alert. Okay? And I'm going to read from Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. Once again, but of that day and hour, no one knows, Jesus said. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. He says it is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Those are the words of our Lord. He's the ultimate authority. He has all authority, amen? And His word is true. And so we commit ourselves to Him, to His will, amen? And we keep ourselves awake. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the Lord doesn't want His people to fall asleep. And He's a good Father, and once in a while He has to wake us up. Amen. But I'm thankful for that. And I know that He's relentless. His love, He pursues us. You know, He's the one that came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. We didn't look for Him, He looked for us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we might be called the sons of God. Amen. Hallelujah. God's getting us ready. He's getting us ready for that day. But that hour we don't know. I know there's a lot of Bible prophecy scholars who are trying to pinpoint the day and maybe even the hour. And they've been throughout history, they've been doing this. And that those days have come and gone so often. And we need to go back and say, well, what did Jesus say about it? And I know they even criticize this. Like Jesus didn't really mean what He said there. I think He means exactly what He says every time He says it, because He doesn't lie. He's the truth. He said, be watchful. You don't know the day or the hour. The Son of Man doesn't know the day, nor the angels in heaven, just the Father. So that tells us we got to just say, okay, let's be about the Lord's business. Amen. Keep our hand to the plow. Don't look back. No, here we have no continuing city, but we look for one to come, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hallelujah. The Lord has gone to prepare a place for us, that where He is, we can also be with Him, right? He says, if I go away, then I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where is He taking us? He's taking us back to heaven, guys. Because that's where He is right now. Hallelujah. And that's what that means. Amen. So let's be ready, okay? And let's get the word out. Look for opportunity. Pray that God will give you direction, amen, each day. Show you who to talk to and where and when and how, you know, and who to pray for. And God will open doors and He'll give you opportunity, amen. And don't get discouraged if you don't see fruit right away, amen. Just be salt and be light, be an influence, amen, for Jesus. And it's the Lord that brings in the harvest, amen. So don't be discouraged. Just keep your hand to the plow, as I said, like Jesus said, right? Don't look back. Hallelujah. Because we're going somewhere, amen. And we're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Hallelujah.